Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On, advertising in video games and other geek media. For more links and news about what we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Yay!
Hey!
It's a Geeks On. Hello, my geek geeks! Welcome back!
It's been, what,
Geeks
2 weeks?
It's 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
It's Geeks On time. It's Geeks
well,
on
kind
time.
Of. In their universe, it hasn't been 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
They just got the Richard Hatch thing, but it's been 2-3 weeks since we actually met.
It's been
met
a very
up.
Long time
yes,
since we've had the time to sit
has.
Down together.
And this is under a new production company.
Yes. Geeks On is now owned by Clear Channel.
Geeks On LLC.
Matt is taking over the reins for a little while to produce these. Thank
His
you, Matt.
Virgin voyage, be kind.
I'll try to be kind.
I was telling our listeners to be kind to you.
Oh. All right.
Not everything's about you, Matt.
Yeah. By the way, I have a new niece.
Hey!
Yay!
I have a new niece, Eleni.
Is it niece or niece-in-law or
niece-in-law? Niece-in-law. Soon to be niece-in-law.
I like niece-ling.
So, niece-ling. Yes. Also, we should announce that our Yossi, one of our lovely listeners, he and his wife were privileged to welcome home their firstborn son, Hananel Aaron, just before Passover.
Named after Aaron from
Geeks On.
I'm flattered that I had such a huge influence on his life.
Yes.
And
yeah, he said the famous middle name is shared not only by Aaron and Claire's baby on Lost, but both of his Zadies. He said Don would explain what a Zadie is.
I think it's your grandmother. I'm not entirely sure, though.
Is it? Okay. Bad Jew. Bad Jew.
I'm a New York Jew. We barely qualify.
Moses' brother. Elvis' middle name.
Was Elvis' middle name Aaron?
Elvis, Aaron, yeah, Presley.
Wow.
Costello.
No, didn't know.
So, yeah.
So, Yossi, from all of us here at Geeks On,
congratulations!
Woo!
Speaking of which, hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
And I am Donald Marshall. I am a video game producer and writer here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Matt King. I am an actor here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Peter, and I am a screenwriter and a director, and I am a geek.
Yay!
Excellent.
Together we are Geeks On.
.com.
Any geek week going on here? Any of you guys?
I busted my knee, which it,
me
know,
too.
I had full. Yeah, Don did too.
We had. He actually came over one night to lend me his crutches.
Yeah,
I tried to use his crutches to walk to work, which doesn't work because you're like
5'8" and
yeah,
Don's 6'5".
I'm 6'5". So didn't really work out very well. And then like
but
I'm at work
great
the next day.
Exactly.
Don smash. So I'm sitting there at work the next day. I get this phone call from Matt saying like, "Can I have my crutches back?"
Yeah. Completely jacked myself, so I was stuck at home and either working or playing Rainbow Six.
Which we are, what, two-thirds of the way through?
Not even. We're a little over half, and it's the most frustrating thing in the entire world, trying to do the co-op story mode, which isn't really a story mode because they don't announce it. They don't tell you any part of the story.
They cut out the story part.
Yeah, but you still go through it.
Rainbow Six, whatever. I've been playing Uno. Thank you.
I know. I've seen you play, Uno.
You know what? It's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm tired. My brain's dead. I just want to sit and watch the pretty colors and talk to strange people showing me things over their camera.
Yes. Wow.
I'm almost afraid to comment.
You really should be.
Leaving that alone.
Oddly enough, I tweaked my knee.
I heard that.
What did you do, Aaron? Did you tweak your knee?
No, didn't do that. I've been writing a science fiction script.
Did anybody tweak their knees in the script?
No, I'll add it if it's in.
What I think was so funny, though, is all three of us heard our left knee.
Left knee, yeah.
It was my left knee.
That's so odd.
Any other thing geeky besides your damn knees? Are we
going to
go on for another half hour by
Grindhouse!
Grindhouse?
Oh, you guys saw Grindhouse 2.
Yes.
Okay, so.
No, I saw Grindhouse 1.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now did the woman that blew off her leg and replaced it with a weapon, was it her left leg?
No.
Oh, see? Never mind.
What did you guys think?
I loved the first one. The Quentin Tarantino one, I was
lame.
Not so into.
I enjoyed it, and I can't stand Quentin Tarantino. I thought the first half was sort of dull and moody. But
how, not like Quentin Tarantino?
He's not my... Is that my type of story?
Oh, okay.
I'm not a big Tarantino fan. I mean, I like Pulp Fiction.
There are not enough vampires.
Yeah, I'm not that big into people like walking around trying to prove how big their dick is. You know?
The last 20 minutes were fun. But
right. Well, okay. In the Tarantino movie, there is essentially one scene. That's great.
Yeah.
And then, it's an hour and a half of bullshit.
And then about a 30-second thing in the middle that's great.
Yeah.
But the other thing...
Did Jaquili go with you?
Yeah, Jaquili.
He said you were squirming the entire movie. He said it was irritating sitting next to you.
It was a 3-hour and 20-minute freaking movie. I was trying to get blood running through the body.
I come to the theater with my own freaking cushions, and
Aaron's got his RLS, though, his restless legs, and he's like kicking the woman in the back of the head.
Okay, well, now my opinion, though, was that I loved the end. I loved the end, the part that all of you find acceptable of the Tarantino movie. Mm-hmm. But I liked the middle parts. It was genuinely entertaining dialogue and actually being well performed for once.
Have grievance with your take on it.
So do I.
I do think that some of the dialogue was good. I do think that it was very long. But also, here's the thing. Tarantino's dialogue tends to have a patter to it. It tends to go kind of fast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And these girls were chewing the words. They were really, like, they were taking it very slow. It didn't have that
speed.
They were
enjoying their moments.
But here's the other thing.
I don't think they were chewing it. I just think they were delivering it naturalistically. Well, they didn't slide into the Tarantino style.
Tarantino is not naturalistic.
Style. Right. No, and I can understand that. Yeah. But I actually, because of that, I was able to ignore the Tarantino-esque part of it and just enjoy the interaction between them.
But I don't see why. So the thing that's interesting about Tarantino's dialogue in the past was it was hitmen talking like a normal person. You know, talking about dumb things.
That's
interesting.
Dick.
You know what I mean? A hitman talking about McDonald's. That's funny and interesting. Mm-hmm. A regular person talking about McDonald's, not interesting. And those girls were regular people talking about regular stuff. And an hour. I'm sorry. There's nothing interesting about that. I don't want to hear about their boyfriends for an hour.
Fair enough. I have to admit, I occasionally watch Lifetime Channel, so maybe that was it.
Hey, I'm on the Lifetime channel.
I can't wait for Machete, though.
Yeah, that actually
the trailers were great. Yeah. And I think we can all agree the Rodriguez movie was actually fun to watch.
Yeah, too long. You know? It still should have been an hour long. But
I think both of them were too long.
I loved it at length. I just adored the film. I thought it was a lot of fun. I didn't have any problems with it.
I thought both of them were too long.
Yeah.
Like even though I liked the Tarantino movie, I feel it was 2 3-quarter movies jammed together.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, here's the thing about the Rodriguez film had an awesome way out of needing it to be this long. They lose the second reel.
Yeah.
They lose the second act, which is great because you don't freaking need it. You don't need to follow the storyline of this stupid movie. It's fun because of what's going on, not the storyline.
So it cuts straight from the first act to the third act?
Pretty much. So
you just get a message saying, reel missing. Sorry for the inconvenience to management.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
It was hysterical.
And then it's still an hour and a half. I'm sorry.
And you
but
missed
if you lose
nothing.
Your second act, it should be an hour long. That means if you had the reel, it would have been a 2.5-hour fucking movie.
Okay, now I want the DVD now then, because I want to see what Quentin has to say or what Robert Rodriguez has to say if he goes, you know, I showed Quentin the script, and he basically said, you know, from page 35 to about page 95, that's just useless. Why don't you just cut it?
Well,
actually, they both
did the same gag.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Except for it worked. In the first one, and was just
by the second one, you were kind of like
it was like lame in the second one.
Ah,
all right. Anyway,
Thursday, which for you all will probably be, you know, well after the time that you hear this, but for us, it's 2 days from now. Is when Trenches start shooting.
Woohoo!
Day after tomorrow,
your movie
Trenches. So where is it filming?
Out in Virginia.
Out in Virginia.
Are you going to go out there?
Oui. Nope. Sorry, Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia's had a bad week.
Virginia had a really bad week.
Quick tangent, thoughts and wishes from Geeks On to all of you in Virginia.
All right, so is that all the Geek Week?
I've been sneaking in episodes of Dead Like Me. I just completed watching the series, and Oh, God. For me, it's another sort of one of those series that I discovered far too late and was really upset when I reached the end. You know, it was just really well-told stories, well put together. I enjoyed it.
Did anybody see Drive? I totally forgot that it started Monday, so I have to go and ask for the DVDs.
Drive, which is edited by the unofficial fifth geek, Lisa Lasik.
She hasn't done all the episodes, but she's, yes, on the
I
didn't freaking see it. I want to see it at least for the special effects.
We need to get that girl a boyfriend.
We might be able to get the first edition, considering our the first episode. You know?
Yeah, I'm gonna try.
We do have a contact on the show. Yeah.
Well, I know some people who've got a DVD, so...
He knows people.
Or T-Bode.
Why don't we do some news?
Why don't we do some geek news?
Geek news.
Hey, I should cue the music. That was great.
Did that fit in right? Something sounded strange about that.
The magic of post-editing, he can make it fit anywhere.
Anywhere.
Are we going to miss the second reel?
Yeah, maybe. This is going to be mid-conversation.
All right, well, I will start it off with France opens secret UFO files covering 50 years.
That is fan-frickin-tastic.
Is it blank?
Yeah, exactly. It's basically...
Lot
of weather balloons.
It has 1,600 sightings spanning five decades. And out of those sightings, 25% of them are classified Type D, meaning that despite good or very good data, incredible witnesses, we are confronted with something we cannot explain. So... check that out. Mm.
That's cool as hell.
What's like the former governor of New Mexico finally came out and said, yes, there was an incident that everyone has photographs of and video of, and
You talking about Roswell?
No. Something happened like in the 80s or early 90s. He said, even though I came out in a news report saying that it was a military thing, it wasn't, and I can't explain it. I just didn't want to start a panic.
This means something.
Wow. So everyone's coming out.
It doesn't mean anything unless you have a pile of mashed potatoes in front of you.
That's true. In like news, kind of, R2-D2 has been named the Honorary Collector of America's Mail. Now, I noticed this because I was driving down to Warner Brothers Studio, and I thought somebody had just done a really cool artistic job on a mailbox.
I saw that exact same one.
Yeah, and they painted it, the mailbox looks like R2-D2. Coolest thing in the entire world. Completely geeked out. Stopped, took a picture of it. Went back home. Found out that they're going to do this all across America in honor of Star Wars' 30th anniversary.
There's a series of stamps.
They're going to be a series of stamps. Expect me to buy all of them. They're cool. They're really cool. And you get to vote for which one you want and which one you think is the coolest.
No, I was just marveling that it's been 30 years since Star Wars came out.
Yeah, kind of buggy, isn't it? We're old. We're very, very old. But yeah,
I saw it in the theater.
Yes,
you guys didn't even see it.
No, I saw it in theater.
If only I'd been born a little sooner, then I too could have gone.
Yeah.
You saw it when you were what, four?
Four, yeah.
And you, yeah, damn. Yeah.
It's been, wow. Jeez.
Yeah. There it is. Donnie?
I remember seeing it in theater.
I have sort of it's a news articling, just a little tiny little news,
news articling.
Yeah,
is that like the hatchlings?
Well, it fits in yours. Did you know that Darth Vader can be found on the Washington National Cathedral?
Did not know that, Don.
It's in fact true. Darth Vader is one of the numerous carved grotesques on the cathedral. Like gargoyles, grotesques carry rainwater away from the building's walls, In the 1980s, the cathedral with National Geographic World Magazine sponsored a competition for children to design a sculpture for the cathedral. And one of the three winning ones was Darth Vader head. So in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., there is a Darth Vader gargoyle up on the top.
That's cool.
So I have a link here to a photo of it and the news story. It's very cool.
I find your lack of drainage disturbing. Sorry.
The look that Don gave Aaron is priceless.
Sorry.
Absolutely priceless.
Do your story.
Do your story.
Do your rumor.
I don't have any rumors or stories. I just want to talk about board games.
Oh.
Ooh.
There's been some board game news that we've been talking about in the forums. Someone let us know that Talisman the board game that I bought when I was in junior high.
Which you still own.
Which I still own.
And all the expansions.
That my mom burned when I was in high school because it was satanic.
Had a dragon on the cover.
Your mom burned your copy of Talisman? I think you've told me this and I just blocked it.
Yeah, that sucks, dude.
My Gamma World, my Star Frontiers, my
She burned them. How is Star Frontiers satanic?
It had a big bug on the cover carrying a ray gun.
How is that satanic?
It had a bug on the cover. I guess bugs are of Satan. I don't know.
Well, Talisman is coming out again in its fourth edition as a board game. And that should be in a couple months. There's some sneak pictures online of like the prototypes. Hopefully it's...
Is that picture that you had there?
They have also the picture of the cover of the box, okay. which that artwork came from.
Which was hot.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like D&D Monster Manual number 2.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. But, you know, the game was great to play. But it's also coming out for the Xbox 360 as a download for Xbox Live.
I will be playing incessantly if anyone in Geekland would like to play with me.
It'll also be coming out on PlayStation 3 and, I believe, as a PC download.
Does anyone actually own a PlayStation 3? Sorry.
Well, we don't, but other people do. So you'll be able to play online, voice chat, all that great groovy stuff, I think, between 4 and 5 players. But also, Carcassonne, which there are already online photos of the Xbox Live version, and it might be coming out for PlayStation 3, I'm not quite sure. That's going to be coming out in the fall.
Alhambra.
Settlers of Catan is coming out like in the next month on Xbox Live, and I believe also on the PC.
I'm going to kick all of your sheep.
Exactly, yes. 5 players online.
Let the wood for sheep jokes begin.
We've all talked about this before. Alhambra is also coming out. We haven't seen any pics of what
There's been no promos for it.
No. Well, there's probably been any promos for any of these. I'm really hoping they do well. But I'm also hoping that this actually is the precursor of a whole bunch of great board games.
They do.
But there are also some other board games that I've just bought. I bought Pillars of the Earth, which is a new Euro-German game that came out.
Is that why you put the expansion on your house? Was for the new board game wing?
Yes. All right. I need more storage for my board games. Pillars of the Earth is kind of like Kalis Light in a way.
Get away from the window.
Which we all love. And I also bought Battle Stations, which is kind of a role-playing slash board game where everyone plays on the same team. They run around in a starship and try to activate the engines and shoot the lasers.
Isn't that kind of like Asteroids or Asteroid or whatever, Hemorrhoid, whatever it's called?
It's nothing like any of that.
I am
it's a board
so
going
to design a board game called Hemorrhoid. I am so going to do it.
Oh, Asteroid, the board game that I have.
Yeah.
No, Asteroid is...
Hemorrhoid would be the sequel to Asteroid.
Asteroid is an awesome game.
A little more in-depth.
Are you done interrupting me?
Sorry. You look like Peter tonight. I can't help it.
Asteroid, by the way, is a great game. 2-player game you can find on eBay. I would suggest anybody find that game. It's an awesome game.
Okay.
Woohoo.
Anyway, that's it for me.
Pita?
Ah, I have an article on the air car.
No.
Yes.
My air car?
Well, I don't know whose air car it's going to be.
No, it's mine.
It sounds awesome. It's not a flying car.
Oh, never mind. It's not my car.
No, it's a car that runs on air.
Compressed air.
Compressed air. Yeah.
Does it sound like Darth Vader when it runs?
This is the first viable zero pollution car. It's being... It's created with a signed partnership with Tata, India's largest...
What?
Tata?
India's... Why is this more viable than an electric car?
Largest automotive manufacturer. Well, it's zero pollution. I don't know.
Electric cars don't
generating
have
electricity.
No, you have to generate electricity.
Well, trust me. You got to generate power to get that freaking compressed air in there.
But on the other hand, the batteries that you have... are still toxic.
So it's less pollution. Good point.
You better bet your tatas.
They're calling it the Mini Cat. And it says...
Mini Cat Tatas?
Yeah, Mini Cat Tatas. It's incredibly cost-efficient to run. According to the designers, it costs less than €1 per 100 kilometers. Ooh. About a tenth of that of a petrol car. Its mileage is about double that of the most advanced electric car, 200 to 300 kilometers or 10 hours of driving, a factor which makes it a perfect choice in cities where 80% of motorists drive at less than 60 kilometers per hour. The car has a top speed of 68 miles per hour.
Oh, 68. That's not bad. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Refilling the car will take place at petrol stations.
Or you can just use a bicycle pump.
Yeah.
If you're stuck.
In 2 to 3 minutes, you can fill the car, and it costs approximately 1.5 euros to fill the car up entirely.
I wonder if it's the air stations would be using electricity from the grid in order to just compress air.
Probably.
Because then you never have to fill up. They don't have to have tankers showing up or anything to
no,
show
absolutely.
Up.
No, absolutely. You wouldn't have to do any of that.
In fact, you could just do it from home and if you had an air compressor.
This was another thing it says. As a viable alternative, the car carries a small compressor which can be connected to a plug.
Plug.
And it takes 3 to 4 hours to fill it up then. So
yeah, yeah, but if you go to work,
yeah,
you plug it,
plug
you know,
it in
you
and let it go.
Sneak and plug it into your office.
Due to the absence of combustion and consequently of residues, changing the oil... 1 liter of vegetable oil is necessary only every 50,000 kilometers.
Wow.
Vegetable oil.
They did an episode of Mythbusters recently.
I saw that.
Where they basically took and they rendered out the vegetable oil from old fries at a local McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran their diesel car
mm-hmm.
on it.
Mm-hmm.
10% less efficient.
Yeah.
But otherwise just ran completely. They didn't have to do a damn thing. There was no problem starting up the car.
Yeah.
Anything.
Arnold Schwarzenegger just did it with his Humvees, all of his Humvees.
Well, I saw an episode of 30 Days where they went to live on a zero-impact commune for mm-hmm. 30 days. And the commune had a car that ran on that stuff. But they explained in 30 days that you did have to make some adjustments on the car.
Okay.
Yeah, you have
to run within 30 days, not initally. So
No. You have to have a kit that converts the car. You don't just pour it in your gas tank.
No, they just poured it directly in the gas tank, and it worked totally fine.
What?
Totally fine.
They did some type of cleansing of this oil.
They took it and they poured it. They poured it through a strainer, and that was it.
What?
Cheesecloth.
Cheesecloth.
Yeah. Oh, really?
When
I lived down near the beach, there was a guy who had a car that ran on that stuff. He had a conversion kit because I talked to him because he would go to the McDonald's and just – he had a permission from them. He would just drain it right out and mm-hmm. he would drive away. But his car smelled like French fries.
Yeah. Yep. That is the side effect of driving around to that.
You're just driving around going, I'm so hungry.
I would be freaking hungry all the time. Because I can eat the snot out of some McDonald's
You're coming back
fries.
Home and every day morning looking at you like, McDonald's again.
Yeah. Well, the last thing that's cool about this car is that the fact that it runs on compressed air means that the compressed air is also what they use to cool the car. So your air conditioning is just the air that you put in the car.
Mm.
Wow. It creates no heat.
People on the side of the road going, can you give me a blow?
Ba-dum-bum.
Where do you drive?
Yeah, Matt.
West Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, I'm like, I ran out of air on the side of the road. Can you come over here and blow me?
that was the joke I was trying to do.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
You can edit me out if you think that my joke was funnier if you want to.
No, maybe I'll edit me out. All right. So they've found a crater underneath California. Oil exploration work in California Central Valley region has uncovered a possible space impact crater. A 5.5 kilometer wide bowl is buried under shale sediments of Stockton in San Joaquin County and is thought to be between 37 and 49 million years old.
Wow.
Yeah. It's Gigandola. It's a circular structure buried 1,490 to 1,600 meters below sea level. And basically, they think it occurred about 35 million years ago. It's one of the largest impact craters in the world. So now they're basically...
Did you say how deep? How far down?
Yeah, about 1,490 to 1,600 meters below sea level.
Hmm.
And basically what they're going to do is they're going to clear out all of the oil rigs in the region, and they're going to start exploration of the crater because they think they can really, really find some interesting stuff down there.
Like an alien...
Like an alien ship.
Ship in the middle.
Which is down there. Yes.
I saw the thing.
I see a bad movie starting here.
I see a good movie starting.
I've seen The Core.
The Thing started
the
that
core,
way.
Man.
Remember the crater in the ice? The thousand-year-old
crater?
Yeah,
but this is in the San Joaquin Valley. There's no ice.
It'd be like
Encino Man. Yeah, we're going to end up with Encino Man.
Encino Man with an alien.
Oh, God.
That's a great pitch. It's Encino Man meets The Thing.
Right.
And greenlit. Done, done, and done.
Grindhouse 2.
I know who's not going to be a studio executive anytime soon.
Oh, right, because you've never seen those type of movies on the big screen before. I believe Encino Man was made.
Yeah, two words for you. Pauly Shore.
And was it incredibly successful?
Who's the new Pauly Shore?
I don't know. Right. Well,
do we need a new Pauly Shore?
Pauly Shore.
No. And there's always a new Pauly. There's always a Pauly Shore.
Jamie Kennedy? No.
Well, every generation there is a Pauly Shore. Jamie I might say Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy's kind of funny. I think he's the new Jerry Lewis.
Well, back in the 80s, I guess people thought Pauly Shore was funny. He made like six movies or something.
He's the weasel.
Well, no, actually, my understanding is that his mother owns a Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, yeah, you get, you know, a little hype.
You don't
there.
Get six
You don't
films
get six films.
Because your mom wants to yeah. owns the Laugh
You
Factory.
Get Orange County because your dad's famous. That's about it.
All right, let's move this along.
I have a news story about the first non-human video game addict. Bernas and his mother, Madhu, are going ape over their new video games. They're Sumatra orangutans in Zoo Atlanta. They play on a touchscreen built in a tree-like structure for their habitat. And it took volunteers from IBM nearly 500 hours to develop the games on there. Correct answers mean food pellets for the apes. So whether they like the game or they just like getting the food, who the freak knows. But they also have a painting program and draw by moving their hands and feet over the program.
Hmm.
So, yep.
I hear though, he's already complaining about the Grand Theft Auto 4 trailer. So, he's on the bandwagon. You can cut that out too, man. Yep.
Yeah, we got a string of them today.
But there is a hope that they'll be able to gain new understanding into like simian developmental psychology and learning processes through this stuff.
Actually, there's been a lot in the news about apes recently because apparently. All the information that's come out has been so intriguing. Apes using spears, apes having all sorts of different types of tools. Apes actually have better memory for if you have to do numbers in an order and they show them very quickly on a screen. Apparently, the apes are really good at doing the order that it came in, where a human will stop at 2 or 3, get confused. They do like 9 or 10, so.
Funky.
It
could be like actuaries. Orangutan actuaries.
Yeah.
This is a follow-up to one of Pete's stories a while ago. Remember you brought up a thing about Microsoft winning a patent, a patent case? So this is one that a U.S. Patent Office basically reaffirmed a key web browsing patent that the software maker is accused of infringing. Basically, in a decision, this was a while ago, but the Patent Office upheld a validity of a patent held by the University of California and its Eolus Technology spinoff. In 2003, a jury awarded more than $500 million in damages to the university and Eolus, but an appeals court this year partially upheld Microsoft's appeal, and this reverses it. So basically, the thing that Microsoft was saying was that this patent that they were accused of infringing on, they had gone to a German company that everybody went to, that Sony went to, that all the big companies go to, and they say Google goes to this company. This is who we get this web browsing patent from. It's from this German company, and they all think that they're operating just fine. And then suddenly, this Eolus company says, "Nuh-uh. That technology is ours, not that German company. They're not the ones who created the patent. We did. So you owe us X amount of money." So
it must be difficult to for those lines, like
where did it?
A program becomes so similar that it crosses the line, and when does
seems
it not?
Like? Seems like you would sue the German company, not Microsoft.
Well,
I mean, morally, not in terms of like. Obviously, you sue Microsoft if you want the money. They've got bigger pockets. But
exactly. I love the most understated sentence in this entire thing was, Microsoft, meanwhile, expressed displeasure with the decision. Yeah, you just lost $500 million. I'm a little irritated.
Well, let me paraphrase one last news story real quick. I just find this pretty interesting. A woman, a lawyer by the name of Seltzer, posted a YouTube clip on her personal blog in early February. The clip showed the NFL's copyright message that aired during the Super Bowl. Seltzer took exception to the message, as it clearly makes no concession for fair use, and wanted to show her students how content owners are beginning to exaggerate their rights. Okay? So
wait,
long story
she
short...
she only showed the copyright...
The telecast is copyright by the NFL for the private use of our audience, and any other use of the telecast or any of any pictures, descriptions, or accounts of the game without the NFL's consent is prohibited.
And that's the thing she showed.
That's what she showed.
That is what she showed. She posted it on YouTube.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
5 days later, she received a DMCA takedown notice through YouTube saying that the NFL had claimed copyright violation and the clip had to be removed. Okay?
Are you effing serious?
Well,
it gets better.
It does say right on her own clip, you can't use that clip.
Seltzer, a law professor by day, is also a staff attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation by night and a founder of Chilling Effects, a website dedicated to educating the public about online rights. Very well aware of her own rights under the DMCA, she promptly sent a letter of counter notification to YouTube. Citing Section 512 of the DMCA, stating that YouTube must replace the material if they receive a counter notification asserting good faith belief that the material removal was by mistake. So she's saying she's basically posting it for educational purposes.
Right.
Which is allowable. Okay. Mm-hmm. Several weeks after that, Seltzer's Super Bowl copyright notice clip came back online as a result of her counter notification.
Right.
Seltzer was happy the system had appeared to work, blah, 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 blah. She was wrong. 12 days later, the NFL filed yet another takedown notice of YouTube for the clip, and YouTube complied once again. However, that was illegal for the NFL to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The NFL can't continuously just keep spamming YouTube to take down the stuff. They have to assert, they have to address her claim before they can do that.
Right.
So the end result of that is essentially the NFL is now in violation of the same law it was using to try and protect its own content.
That's
I don't even understand
that's
this
confusing.
Okay. Well, go read the article. It's fascinating.
It's
and this woman sounds so cool.
I guess
so,
they kind of
she's like,
on the wrong person this time.
Yeah. Yeah. And she knows this is her area of specialty.
Wonder if she
and
did
apparently
that neck
the
thing.
NFL doesn't understand the own the laws it's trying to use to protect its own content.
Wow.
So, check it out. It's a really interesting read. I can't do it justice.
Interesting.
All right.
But, yeah. That is interesting. Cool. Anybody else have news?
Nope.
No news.
Let's move on to our topic.
Topic!
Good topic, right?
Our topic for today is advertising in video games and other broad media. What it means for you, what it means for us. Are you for it or are you against it? How does it benefit you?
Exactly.
This has been a big discussion around the internet and podcasts, and mm-hmm. we just wanted to get our voice in on this. On this topic, for
well,
sure.
Isn't this the huge lawsuit that's going on right now with Microsoft, Google, a bunch of other ones? I just heard about this on NPR. I don't have all the information. There's a new company that's thinking about joining up with Google, and basically I think it's called DoubleClick, and they're basically in charge of a lot of the advertising revenue,
mm-hmm.
and basically they're thinking about joining up with Google, and basically that'll give Google 80% control over all of advertising, and Microsoft's going, can't do that.
In video games?
No, in general. Just
over the internet.
You know, over the internet. Advertisement in general.
Well, I'm curious that's interesting. That's very interesting.
I don't have all the facts. I don't know. I just heard the end of the news story on NPR. So
the original inspiration for the conversation was video games.
Yeah. Yeah.
How advertisements have been creeping into video games mm-hmm. left and right. Now, I'm just completing a project right now where we're being paid money by a third company to put their logo in our game mm-hmm. to advertise for them on several different levels. Hmm. Not by putting big old banner ads, but by making little references to their product,
mm-hmm.
you know, that sort of thing.
Hmm.
You know,
where was the first game that you noticed it? That you played? I think mine was Tricky.
Spider-Man Game Boy. There was a mini game for the Spider-Man where you had to deliver Domino's pizzas to people.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I remember being so angry by that. I was so angry that they had Spider-Man slinging pizza.
Well,
that's furious.
You do that in the video games, the recent Spider-Man video games, where you're Peter, because they did it in the movie. Remember
product placement.
I mean, I don't know if it was Domino's, but you were swinging around delivering. Peter Parker had to get, you know, the pizza there on
Deliver pizzas, mm-hmm. Right.
I can't exactly remember. I remember, I think Wipeout.
Wipeout does have a lot of them.
It had, like, billboards, and some of them were fake, but I think there were a couple of those old, like, PlayStation 1 games, or Wipeout games with ads in them.
Right.
Big billboard.
I don't remember it until I played SSX Tricky, and then I remember just seeing them every frickin' where in the entire world. The most blatant one, of course, was Fight Night Round 3.
Okay, so yeah. Let's... Okay.
That was obscene.
Well, sports games, I think, have a long tradition.
Right. Yeah, and I'm okay... Okay, I'm even okay with the Fight Night one, because if the ring looks like... No, yeah. Not what they did.
Okay.
But with a Fight Night with advertising, with, you know, with basketball...
It's a boxing match. Throw some freaking .com addresses on the people's butts. That's what they do nowadays.
Yeah, and the ring might have a logo and all that stuff. Now, they took it too far where... You had to watch Burger King, Burger King, come into the ring, and he danced around. And
it
went from a very realistic look to a professional game, boxing ring, to just absolute...
It was ludicrous.
It's ludicrous.
Well, one thing was you could train with the Burger King, and he like trained you and gave you better heart. Which I think is
really?
The worst. Yeah, which is the worst thing in the, like, of all things that Burger King would give you better, heart would not be the one that would be like up on maybe mass. I mean, you know, strength.
We got to get some mass on those bones.
Mass on those bones. Go train with the Burger King.
I know.
Yeah,
It's interesting because it really comes down to a couple of things. You know, is the content appropriate to the medium it's in? You know, I was reading an article and someone said, you know, don't put McDonald's in a medieval game I'm playing.
Right.
It doesn't fit.
Do they do it?
Well, no, but
he's pointing out, whereas someone else was saying, you know, they're playing Splinter Cell and they walk by a Coca-Cola machine and they thought that was cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's a glowing Coca-Cola machine in the middle, you know, like, you know.
As long as it's not dominant to the game, by and large, I don't mind.
And the second part of it is, you know, is it entertaining? I mean, you know, if you look, really, the fact of the matter is, I don't mind watching commercials when I'm on TV, you know, watching TV if they're good commercials and they're entertaining.
Oh, so you're talking about like during the Super Bowl. Like, I watch it more for the commercials.
I'm talking about even in general. My wife, there's a commercial she watches. It's the one, the campaign, Need Rewards Faster. Okay, and basically it's a couple guys that are riding bikes, and the other guys just running around this.
I don't know why she thinks that's so funny.
I tell you, every time it's on, she makes me stop and play it again. She loves it and laughs hysterically every single time.
Well,
there was one
about a guy who was running on a treadmill and he jacks himself up completely on the treadmill, and then it was for, you know, something. But
I just
that
don't,
one cracked me up.
I just don't
want to
be taken out of the world that the game makers, creators are trying to put me in. So if I'm playing NASCAR and my car isn't littered with advertisers, I'm going to be taken out of my world. If I'm in Oblivion and I walk by
ye olde McDonald's,
I'm going to be out. In fact, the game's going to be turned off. Now,
I still think there's such a thing as too much, though. I played MTX Motocross once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, it's a motocross racetrack. There are advertisements everywhere.
Right.
That's fine. But there was a point where there were so many advertisements. Like, anywhere you could put an advertisement, there was one.
Hmm.
I was so overwhelmed by the advertisements, I couldn't look at the game anymore.
Well, this sounds like we're preferring is, literally subliminal advertising, almost.
Okay, you know? So war game. Battlefield, modern day.
Here's my problem, though. Just one side note with it is that, yeah, this is great for the developer because they make money. This is great for the publisher because they make money. But those savings aren't passed on to the consumer at all. You know, that doesn't take a hit out of the development budget of a video game.
Right. It doesn't save you on the price. It's still $49.99.
Like in a movie theater, for example, they inflict commercials on you now for the most part.
Go to the ArcLight.
Well, here's the thing. Movie theaters that don't charge you $2 more for the right not to have to watch a commercial.
Right.
Yeah, but that's different. What we're really talking about is things like James Bond, where he drives up in a particular type of car.
Yeah.
That's different than seeing an ad in front of the movie.
Oh, now, hold on.
And here's the difference, because your ticket did not change. Whether the ArcLight ticket
Right.
Did not change whether James Bond drove up in a BMW or he drove up in something that he wasn't paid for.
I'm going to interject another James Bond instance where I don't even remember which movie it was because I was so angry at the movie. He's in Russia driving like a heck out of nowhere on the street, and a Perrier water truck pulls back and blocks the street he's in. Mm-hmm. And he drives through the big Perrier water
sign. And it blows up.
And it blows up. And I remember being so like I was, boom, completely out of the movie because it was so clearly a commercial for Perrier water smack dab in the middle of my movie. I wanted money back for that. You didn't work that into your movie. You inflicted a commercial on me. I want a discount.
Right.
You know?
No, again, it's whether it's taking you out of the world that they're trying to create for you.
Yeah.
I was watching, I think I actually brought this up in an episode, but I'll bring it up again. I was watching Smallville. Smallville now is notorious
for... They're ridiculous!
Yeah, so not only do they have just indie bands jammed in there, but they always have some product. Yeah, well, ActiveView...
I didn't mind the indie bands. It was like, okay, this is the love song for our two main characters.
But now, they shoehorned it in a lot of
times. Now it's become ridiculous.
Now it's like ActiveView sponsors this episode. Well, so one of the characters came up not wearing glasses, and someone said, "I thought you wore glasses." She goes, "No, I'm wearing contacts." And the other character went, "Well, ActiveView to the rescue."
No!
in the episode. Now,
wow.
To me, I just like, I mean, that was just crossing the line. I'm sorry.
Damon Wayans, his show, he had this one episode, and for some reason the producers did a negotiation
with
a movie. And basically that movie, you know, the child, his child on the show, said, well, it would be much cooler if, you know, everybody who is cool goes to see this movie. And Damon was like, there is no way that I'm going to participate in this storyline, that I am going to, you know, advertise this storyline. So this episode is not about me. I'm not on the show for this episode. This is not going to happen. And I respect him for that.
Okay, but here's the thing, is that these companies, these video game companies, this is not a charity organization.
And of course not.
And if somebody says, you know what, I have a great idea of making more money this year, we don't need to pass it on to our damn, you know, the players.
Yeah,
this
why
is about
not?
Us making more money. That's the job of the people making those decisions. Now, it's up to the director, creator, producer, or whoever somewhere down the line to say, okay, you're right. Where I'm here, I'm getting paid money to make money for this company. But putting the Burger King in at this point is crossing the line. It's now destroying the game. Now, it didn't destroy Fight Night. We all love the game.
Yeah, it's great.
But it had a potential. If they kept going, I would have said, this is bullshit. I'm not going to play this piece of crap game.
Well, what was the name of the one that you turned off?
MTX Motocross.
Yeah.
Right. So now they probably aren't making as much money. Because
they're a pretty bad game, too.
So they made bad decisions all along the way, including. Now, here's the thing. Things like Battlefield, EA got a lot of bad press this year because there was an update which essentially took all the billboards that were in there and replaced them with new advertisement. So essentially you're walking around a battlefield in broken down cities where there used to be, you know, billboards, bust up billboards, and now there's something new.
Right.
Axe, body spray, I don't know what it was, but there's something new. And
as long as it looks busted up, I don't care.
Well, people got upset. People were saying, listen, I downloaded something on my computer, and you essentially spammed me with ads.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's going to happen is it's going to be built into the games at a certain point. In fact, let me actually pass something around here. I'm going to pass around some pictures. One's a Tomb Raider picture where Lara is standing by a Daimler Chrysler Jeep. The other one is Anarchy Online, where basically inside the game they've got billboards, and it's got Batman Begins, the trailer.
Wait, but is it Anarchy Online?
With Anarchy Online, though, there's a twist with that one. The reason why Anarchy Online is free is because you get advertising on there.
Well, it wasn't.
It benefits. Yeah, it is actually. The free version.
You are correct. But what I was going to say is it wasn't always free. You know, this is what they've had to do to try and survive, I think.
And you know what?
Well, no, they have two versions. You can pay and not get advertising, or you can get the advertising.
Oh, interesting.
And you know what? I'm fine with that. don't buy the game if you don't want to watch ads. Yeah. But hey, here is Daimler Chrysler paying for a game for you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's completely okay with me. You know, that works. Now, here's something else that happened recently in some Xbox Live downloadable content. I think it was Gears of War. No, what was it? What game? There was a map pack that was brought to you by Future Weapons. Do you remember that? What game was that?
No, it's probably Gears of War or Rainbow Six, but... Mm.
It's one of those two games.
It's a great idea.
It was a free download. Mm-hmm. You got it for free, but it came with... When you load it up, it says, this is brought to you by Future Weapons. Starts Friday, November, blah, blah.
And which is a great show, by the way.
Discovery Channel. Totally and genius. I was like, some people were complaining about that. I'm like, wait a minute. Everybody's getting what they want here. The game company has created content for you that was not included in the game. You are not paying for it.
Right.
And the company's making money. So they're going to do it again.
You see, but that's a beneficial thing for the consumer.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, you have free content now. Whereas my James Bond movie throwing a Perrier commercial smack dab in my face...
Well, just remember...
Just ruined my
night.
More
money
but
they make,
how is
more...
that different than zooming in on the BMW logo that James Bond is driving or his watch that happens to be Tissot, you know, when he's looking at it?
Well...
It's blatant there, too.
It is blatant there, but normally those things aren't as blatant as that billboard being wheeled out into the middle of the street.
Well...
You know, James Bond driving a cool car is a little different to me. You don't necessarily zoom in on the... In my mind, I don't zoom in on the brand.
Well, Jack Bauer, four seasons, five seasons, always drove a Ford.
Mm. Yep.
I knew that.
Didn't they do the thing where basically like Ford advertised the first 5 minutes of the
well,
thing?
Well, no. One of the premieres of one of the seasons, it was done without commercials. And Ford, at the beginning, came on and did like a 2.5 minute ad, and then they said, okay, now you saw our ad, we'd like to present to you the thing that we gave you, and here is an hour show without commercials. Now they were all driving Fords, bad guys, good guys. If you knew it was if the Ford showed up, you knew it was important because there was a character in there we needed. Yeah, and that was fine with me. You know, you didn't have to pay.
So it's basically if they're being honest. I mean, that sounds exactly like what you were talking about.
Well, no, I don't care if they're even dishonest. The fact is it didn't take me out of the world.
Yeah, well, what it really comes down to is it's one thing if they want to put an ad in something they're giving us for free. And do it in a way that takes us out of the world. It's another thing if we're paying our money, our good money, and then, you know, we've got an ad that's blatant and pulls us out of the...
As long as it doesn't pull me out of the thing, if
That's what I'm saying. One thing if I pay my good money and then it pulls me out of the game. Then I'm like, well, wait a minute. I paid money for this, and now you've got, like, you know, Burger King to the rescue in the middle of the game, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, that's not what I paid for.
When we were playing Fight Night, I have to admit, every time I saw the Burger King... Bam, I was out of the game. I was never able to take that game as seriously as I could have.
You know, but on the other hand, I mean, you know, there is a trade-off balance that's going on here. I mean, on Trenches, which is the thing I was talking about before, is going to production, one of the questions that was going on there was, and I'm not trying to sell it. I could see a little smile. But no, but really. No,
Trenches coming out next fall.
I'm waiting to see how you work a Coke spot into this.
No, actually, one of the questions that was involved, you know, one of the things that they're going to do is that they're trying to sell this with advertising. It's something going on the internet, and they, you know, advertising is a piece of it. And so one of the questions was language issues. You know, I mean, what language can we use? You know? And, you know, frankly, if and we wound up going with a clean version, you know, didn't have a lot of language in it, you know. But I was like, you know, if I had to work in, you know, some product that was somehow appropriate, like Red Bull 6000, you know, or something like, you know, Red Bull, you know, 2024, some weird thing like that. You know, I would have been happy to try and work that in if it helped the rest of the content, if it fit, you know.
Reese's Pieces in E.T.
Yeah.
That changed
it. That
was
awesome.
But that changed it.
I know, but did you...
Nobody realized product placement until that really changed.
M&M's turned them down.
I don't know. If you go back to the 50s, I think there was some...
there's cigarette ads.
Some cigarette stuff worked into the movies.
Yeah, but this was like... But that was a great...
That was a great thing
because that brought us all into the movie. We all... You know, I remember Elliot... He was playing with action figures, Star Wars action figures that I played with.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, he mentioned them. Now, I don't know if that was an ad placement or not. It could have been. But it made Elliot me. Mm-hmm. Like, I have those toys and I eat Reese's Pieces, you know.
That's true. I mean, these things that are being advertised, whether we like it or not, are part of our lives. Coca-Cola mm-hmm. is a part of our day-to-day life in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all a popular drink you see every day.
Now, I wanted to ask you, I actually was trying to find pictures in the latest Game Informer, but I can't find it. The new Sony dashboard, which is supposed to, they're using it to compete with Xbox Live, right? Now, this is going to be, you didn't like it, Aaron, but it was basically you're going to be a sim walking around.
That's not the dashboard, but that's like a...
Well, it's both. Basically, because you're if you want a simplistic dashboard, just mm-hmm. like the Xbox Live, mm-hmm. it's going to be this rendered PSP on your screen.
Right.
And that's how you negotiate. If you knock this PSP out of the way, you're going to have your living room, you can walk around, everything like that. Now
it's like Second Life,
right? Now this world that you can walk around in is going to be it's going to be Times Square, they're basically saying, mm-hmm. and it's going to be littered with advertisements. How do you feel about that? Is that too much?
Well, because Second Life is like that.
Well, I know they're building, like, I know they're doing things, but they're actually giving content. I feel like as long as the advertiser is giving you something in, you know, in response for saying, hey, come out and buy our product, then it's acceptable.
I think it's a dangerous choice. We've already seen our generation, specifically our generation, probably the generation after ours, is notorious for reacting very negatively to an obvious advertisement.
Yeah, to being sold.
Yeah. What was the, remember the flip phone ad? Do you remember this thing?
No. Probably because it was too aggressive.
There was an advertisement they put up on YouTube for a flip phone. And it's all of this kid kind of walking around and edited all like kind of a homemade ad with a flip phone going, it's flip, it's flip, it's flippy. It's fun to flip around, to flip around. And it's always the phone flipping up with a little card sticking out of it saying flip.
Okay.
And it was a blatant advertisement, I think, from Sony. Right. Mm. It was not some homemade video.
Oh, but they got caught recently.
They tried to make it look like it was a home video. They tried to pass it off
like a homemade video by a fan.
Yeah.
Right? And when people realized that, it became the biggest negative to Sony in years. Mm-hmm. People actively were rejecting Sony's product because of this ad.
Right.
You know? It was a major problem for them. So I think... This whole blatant, we're going to surround you with advertisements everywhere you go, could bite them in the ass. Because we like our advertising clever, we like it subtle, and we like it out of the way.
Well, I've seen the pictures of Home, which is what you're talking about.
Right.
And they haven't shown anything that's like what you're talking about. They're all
really?
Interior.
When I saw the Times Square thing, I saw the four interiors of the different homes that you could mm-hmm. have, but they showed a Times Square thing where basically, like, they would have a restaurant to your right, and you can go in that restaurant, and you can play, like, a Diner Dash sort of game.
Yeah, they're advertising. It's, you know, they're just like, I mean, if you go into Xbox Live, there are ads there saying, Halo 2 maps are out, it's only $4.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
But this is going to be like Coke on a big billboard in Times Square when you're there.
I'm totally jaded about this stuff. I just think it's inevitable. I think that what's going to happen is it's going to come out. You know, you were saying people are complaining about this stuff. People complain about everything.
True.
You know, like nothing happens that people don't complain about. And then what's going to happen is it's going to come out. We're all going to get used to it. And it's going to be like the ads that are on the side when you're surfing around the web, you know, where you just don't even notice them. You know, it's like they're there all the time. Ever present, and you don't notice them.
Well, and you know, my spam is getting smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter. I just found out, like, I got 10 spam messages, and I was like, how did these get in? And I clicked on the actual spam message. The advertisement was primarily at the top of the ad, but then the bulk of the text of the ad was all Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Somebody had, like, copied, and I was like, you're using Shakespeare, you fucker.
Actually, the most brilliant spam I've seen in a long time, and I think I forwarded it to you guys. Was because it was
truly
brilliant. It came across as a sign this online petition so you can let everyone know, you know, to force the British government to educate people about the fact that you can get cheaper medications for your pet online. Right.
Yeah, right.
And that, you know, and then, I mean, it read like one of these things. It's the type of thing that idiots are going to forward to their friends saying, you know, you got to help people
like
get their
you did.
Well,
wow.
At least I appreciated it.
Insert foot A.
No, but seriously, it was very smart how they wrote it. Cause like, unless you looked at it very carefully, you went, oh, this is spam. Yeah, this is an advertisement.
Okay, so I think the final question, just to close this out, is there a slippery slope? Will Chun-Li eventually be draped in NASCAR, you know, ribbons?
I don't think it's going to go.
It's going to be Chun-Li brought to you by Nokia.
I don't think it's going to be like, what was that superhero film where he's got like all the patches all over him as a superhero?
Oh, right.
Mystery Men.
Mystery Men.
I don't think it's going to be like that. I don't think it's going to get to that level, you know. And when it does, I think it's going to be called on the floor. People are going to know, you know. But I do think it's going to, you know, you're going to have billboards as you drive by. You're going to have things that are in the back, like in Grand Theft Auto. They had all these mock ads that were in it as you're driving around.
Right.
Some of those are going to be real.
Well, now with the new level of Grand Theft Auto, it's going to be really real.
You know,
4 looks crazy.
See, I actually loved the fake billboards that we used to see in video games.
Yeah.
You know, they used to be funny and clever.
Well,
and they used to make fun of real advertising.
I think there will be some games that we're going to see that have crossed the line, and I think some of them are going to be, you know.
I think as people figure out that television is a dead medium for advertising, they're going to really start making the push into video games. They're going to make the push into internet again.
Let me give you guys some statistics. Okay.
That should be a good closer.
Yeah.
Numbers.
Well, okay. Last year there was 56 million that was made on advertising in video games.
Okay.
By 2010, they expect somewhere between 733 million and 1 billion.
Ooh.
Okay. That's pretty up. On top of that, the Nielsen's are getting into Nielsen ratings. For people who don't know, Nielsen ratings is how advertisers, you know, decide how many people have seen their stuff on TV.
It's completely fucking
a joke.
Okay.
Joke.
And that's how they price ads for TVs, for TV shows. Well, they're now getting into video games.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a company.
What if you can be a Nielsen gamer?
I don't know, but there's a company that basically has a program that they're going to start putting into games that will be able to tell the advertisers, whether or not someone has seen their billboard, what angle they saw it from.
They do that in Battlefield.
How close to or how far from the billboard it was, and how long they stayed on it while they were looking.
Yeah, they do that. I think that in the Battlefield.
Yikes.
Yeah, and that's really specific.
No.
So what you do is you go and you in Battlefield, go park yourself in front of a billboard, you know, like your first-person shooter. Park yourself in front of the billboard and just leave that fucker on.
Yeah, preferably one that's way out of the way where no one will ever see
it. Yeah, some advertiser. And just stare at that billboard just leave it on all night for months and let that counter count up. And EA will be paying some. Right. Or somebody's going to be paying.
They'll be paying EA.
Someone will say, you know what? That wasn't a good idea.
More lessons on how to screw the man.
Yeah.
Next on Geeks On.
But the thing is that the more important thing is that most of the time in the past, ads have been static, meaning that you put the ad in and you can't download it. You can't download something new. It's there for life. Okay. Now they're talking about downloadable stuff, which nearly 50% of ad dollars come from time-sensitive promotions for products like new movie releases, which is going to make it explode once they start downloading that stuff. And like I said, people will complain when they first see it. But as soon as they get used to it, they're just not even going to notice.
Again, I'm fine with things like Splinter Cell. When you go down into the subways, if all the movie posters down there are current movies, fine.
See, I'm the freaking prude. I'm the stodgy one here. I want to see research done on what the effect of actively excluding information from your daily world on a constant basis is doing to our psyches.
Excluding information?
When I spend all day surfing the internet and I am looking at a screen where I am actively editing out 40% of the scene, the screen. Okay. I'm actively disregarding information that's in front of me.
That's very interesting.
I've never, I can't imagine any other lifetime
we do that
in the past.
Every moment of our life we do that.
Well, no, not to this degree.
I would say you only pay attention to 10% of what you're looking at all times.
I have three line dancing silhouette cowboys that come up on my screen, and just they wiggle around and try and flag my attention down. I have a fat black lady on a rooftop that's waving her hands at me all the time.
You go to some effed up sites, man.
You haven't seen these people line dancing advertising the newest mortgage rates?
No.
You people are crazy. These things
well,
are
I'm
every
really
website
editing
I
them
go
out.
To.
Okay, well, in terms of, you know, blocking out what's around you. People read books. That's what you do when you read a book. You block out the world around you.
Not in general. People tend to try and find quieter places or find a more secluded area. And it's not like you have active flashing blinking lights.
You're saying here's
trying to flag your attention.
Here's somebody. Here's a page like a newspaper that you are actively tuning out to part of the. I think it's a might be a good.
I don't. Think
I
so.
Don't think that's an,
don't
that's
think
a
so.
Accurate.
You're you subconsciously know you're making a decision without your you being aware of it, not to look at those things, and then you can filter through and, like a surgeon, cut through and get the correct information. I guarantee, if that some of that stuff was something important, you would look at it.
But how? I mean, okay,
that's
I mean,
a good.
This brings up
the side information has always been passive.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
The new information is.
I'm not sure if I necessarily agree that
it's
always
attempting
been,
to manipulate your attention and drag your eye to it.
I don't necessarily agree that it's always been passive because you're talking about animals in the wild and how we zone in on one animal who's weak as opposed
to. How often have you ever tried to read something while a wildebeest is wandering?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying but evolutionarily, if you're talking about a hunter looking at one animal who is weak and zoning in on just that one animal while editing out all the other ones that are the strong ones that he's going to ignore, that is focusing on one target.
I would argue that would be an unwise hunter.
All right.
You need to be aware of your entire environment.
Back to video games.
Well, just to throw out, you guys did see those the study they did where they took people who were sort of having problems with borderline dementia, problems with Alzheimer's, and they gave them games to play. And they said they could feel their faculties coming back.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's not exactly the same thing.
Games for the elderly
about.
Are miraculous.
Yeah.
However, on the other side of the spectrum, we're also seeing more and more flash advertising, and more quick-cut advertising in levels
We're seeing ADD at levels we've never seen
before.
Yes, that's true, too.
So
if we're not taking ADD, I'm sorry, I love many of our younger listeners, but I have met lots of kids nowadays who have the attention span of a gnat. And I know I had a shorter attention span when I was younger, but not like these kids.
Yeah. So basically,
and the music's getting louder,
and they won't get off my lawn.
Play video games and meditate. Do them both.
You're right. You are stodgy.
I totally am. I wear it with pride.
All right.
I'm done.
I just need a lawn.
Well, if you have commentary to make on our topic, please do. We'll bring it up on one of our mailbag episodes up and coming.
Geeks On is brought to you by Monistat 7.
Save.
I just had to get that in. It's under contract.
The fact that you chose Monistat 7, too, is absolutely...
Which ages me, because we're down to one already. Man, technology.
Totally inappropriate.
All right. So.
What happens when he gets in one? Is it Monistat 0 next?
I don't know.
Monistat -1?
Having never used it?
So we do have a bit this... this week.
We do have a bit.
Yeah, we do. We have.
And we decided to do a really hard one, damn it, Matt.
It's not that hard.
This is hard.
It's effectively an ethics / sort of time travel
I found it
travel
hard
question.
To make it geeky.
All right, Matt. So what is our bit
Our
this
bit
week?
Is...
Doctor, I come to bring you a warning. You will be pitted against an evil force, a race known as the Daleks.
Who would you kill? if you could go back in time? You have the ability to go back in time once and only once. You go back, you can kill anybody that you want to change the future for the better.
I don't want to kill anyone.
No, you have to.
Oh, I've got somebody.
Yeah. You got to kill...
Okay, the gleam in Aaron's eye was terrifying there.
And basically, you kill somebody in the past to make your future a better place. Who do you kill? What does it do to your future? And extra credit, how do you get back to the past? What's your method of time travel?
I don't know.
Just a little extra techno babble on the end of it, if you want. Okay. That's extra credit.
I'll go first because mine isn't terribly exciting. Give everyone the idea. All right, my method of traveling back in time would be carving a message onto a stone slab offering to invest $300 under the name and social security number of the first person to send me a time machine back from the future.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
Hmm. Good loop there.
Okay. My target would be to kill Mr. Richard Rich. Richard Rich.
Oh.
Richard Rich. An obscure film director before he could make Disney's The Black Cauldron, effectively blocking that entire line of children's books from ever being made into a serious movie.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, I would also save the world for some children's classics as The Animated King and I, Pocahontas, and The Swan Princess.
Okay, yours and I are kind of close, damn it.
Oh, really?
Why don't you go next, Peter?
I'll go next. I'm not that good here, but first of all, I would go back and I'd kill Karl Rove. Okay,
wow. You're not traveling that far back in time.
I'm not. Well, first of all, it's kind of
what's
important.
Your time machine's what a tricycle.
Geekson does not endorse the assassination of any White House staff member.
but you can't go back too far because you know you mess up too many things. You're not who you are anymore. See, that's a problem.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, like.
So you're just trying to preserve the timeline. You don't want to screw anything up.
Well, you know, I mean,
butterfly effect.
A lot of things I like about the world, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of things I think are pretty cool.
Okay.
But basically, you know, you go back, you know, he's out of the way, you know, a lot of the dirty politics tricks that have happened. In the recent
They were invented by Karl Rove.
Well, you know,
we wouldn't have any more dirty politics.
Let's just say that he's perfected some old things.
He's done a good job.
You know, and but then
at dirty politics.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but here's my sort of take on things. He's not around.
Mm-hmm.
Bush doesn't get elected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know then.
Gore is elected instead,
and suddenly we have no global warming, and the world and the world is a
perfect place. Wow!
I mean, doesn't that make perfect sense?
Air scratching hippie liberal.
Yeah, Jesus.
Wow.
No, but
I thought I was the liberal on the show.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Peter's the closet, sometimes allies with the conservatives, liberal.
No. There's a lot of things I agree with in terms of conservative politics, but I do think that the guy has been just absolutely nasty in how he's run his campaigns, and you know,
take him out. That's it.
All right, I'll go next.
All right,
I would go back in time and kill Edward III, St. Edward the Confessor.
St. Edward the Confessor, not Edward the Black Prince.
No.
Okay, because they're both Edward III. I think.
I don't know.
I may be wrong. Somebody yell at me.
Edward the Confessor granted his royal minister of church with a large and wealthy manor of lands and a thriving port. The bishop died in 1047, and the abbey's jurisdiction then passed directly to the Pope. Because of this, the Freecamp Abbey itself answered to no one but only to the Pope. Wow. Making it a very powerful political church.
This is like historical technobabble.
In the 1300s, one of the priors of the abbey later then became Pope Clement the Sixth.
Okay.
Whose nephew also became the Pope, Pope Urban the Sixth, who established in 1388 the fourth university of the Holy Empire, the University of Cologne. Who educated the film director Uwe Boll? And if I killed Edward III, we would not have those shit movies today. Thank you very much.
No, no. I mean, all we would have would be Blood Rain made by an uneducated film director.
All right, maybe you're right.
But he wouldn't be a boxer. So I thought, I mean, just so nobody in Geekland yells at us, I mean, Hitler was the default, you know?
I think universally. We're trying to be as geeky as possible.
It's a geek assassination. So my geekination, geekization? I don't know.
Just move on.
Okay. I was trying to think about it, you know, because, you know, even if you assassinate Hitler, Hitler did have some good fallout, you know, like it allied the countries of the world together. It did create, you know, United okay. States, whatever. But I was trying to think, you know, what's the event that, you know, who can I kill to really change the future diametrically?
Okay.
So I would have to say in the year AD 642. Alexandria surrendered to Amru, the Islamic general leading the armies of Omar, the Caliph of Baghdad.
Okay.
Right? Now, what Omar then did was burn the Library of Alexandria to the ground, which okay. at that point in time had all of Egyptian technology, all of Greek technology, all of Roman technology in their scrolls mm-hmm. there. And I think if you had killed Omar... I'm probably going to get killed on the forums about this, but if you kill Omar, the Library of Alexandria manages to pass its technology onto this century, and I come back and I have my flying car. Do you see?
Think,
there,
you
there's
think
a jump
the,
there.
You think the technology of the flying car is hidden?
No,
well,
just
no.
Thinks,
no
world about it. He thinks we wouldn't have had to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly, because the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, basically.
So we'd be ahead of schedule.
We'd be ahead of schedule rather than having to, you know, because the aqueducts wouldn't be refound. You know, it's like, oh, the Romans had this way back when. Why didn't we, you know? They would have had the whole technology.
So how many years ahead do you think we'd be?
Well, also, think about this.
300.
Well, no.
I think 300 years.
Well, seriously, think about this. Yeah. We have – there's a I don't even know how to describe this. You're going to have to edit this.
Okay. Pete's hands are going
there's
wild.
There's a concept where technology doubles mm-hmm. in half the time.
Okay.
And so what we've got is we've got a – you know, we've got everything speeding up. So now when it first started, you know, for technology to double, it was like, you know, hundreds of thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Now the amount of information in the world doubles like every 3 years or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that and you think about even a minuscule gain back then, like of, you know, 300 years or whatever you're talking about, 100 years, 50 years, today would mean a huge gain.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't believe in that.
Well, they were talking about, you know, like
– I don't think – having the information itself would be enough.
Archimedes?
No.
You know, come on, man.
There are certain breaks that have been in place to stop advancement for a huge variety of reasons.
Otherwise, we'd be
politics,
way globally warm.
You know, like, you know, the feudal system didn't want people educated. Religion,
what,
the organized
see,
religion often didn't
did
want people educated.
Did you see some alternative timeline that we didn't see?
Yeah.
Don's, right. Don's got the inside skinny.
Alrighty, I don't know. That was kind of a tough bit.
I'm telling you.
So, exactly prepared for this one.
Cue in on the forums. Who would you kill?
Geek assassination.
Or who would you quietly remove?
Geek assassination. Yes.
You don't have
using
to kill.
A
you
time
have to kill
machine.
Them. Who yes. would you peacefully
using a time machine.
Remove
you
can, from the equation?
You can just take them out of the timeline.
Yeah.
Geekson does not endorse murder of anyone.
No. No. Not
well,
at all.
Not often.
Alrighty.
Yeah, man, you just put
one
that you would
liberal.
Kill Karl Rove on,
on the internet. Yeah.
On the internet, man, you're done.
Yeah, yeah. We're on some.
You're done. Pete's got.
You're
days
on the no
left.
Fly list right as of this moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Crap, we're all on the no fly list now.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, anything else before we close this fine episode of Geeks On?
Nope.
I got nothing.
Remember, you can find us at geekson.com, and you can email us at geeks@geekson.com, and you can go to our forums there, which there are all sorts of crazy, wild, wild discussions.
Warm, friendly people.
Warm.
You can also go to iTunes and give us a review.
That would be cool.
Or dig.com.
Or you can go and dig us on dig.com.
Hi, Eli.
Exactly. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, have a good geek week.
We got nothing.
Have a great.
Bye, everybody.
Geek out.